are becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Oh, yes, of His Christ.
I bring you peace from our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our brother, and the Holy Spirit, our companion. People of God, we want to praise and thank our God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, for His wonderful presence and mighty revelation of Himself through the witness and testimony of the Holy Spirit during these few days. We have had quite a time at His feet, in His house, in His court, and at His altar. And what a privilege to have had the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost blessing us so much with their divine presence, knowledge, and wisdom. And the revelations about Jesus Christ, King of Kings, during the festival of testimonies. Beloved, the Lord has asked me to get the press to precede my presentation here, especially recorded and presented to the world, church, people, and nations. For the first time, I promise to work towards this with no inhibition about commercialization of the gospel. Someone asked me to have a written version of our talks in a book form for the church and people of the world. We will endeavor to do just that. Beloved, God bless you all who have been present throughout the festival. We all have had a chance for a personal encounter and experience with the Lord. The joyful experience will be with us and last throughout our lives and beyond for years until eternity, especially if we place ourselves deeply in the blessed flow of the living waters, life, light, power, and glory in these few days. We shall end the testimony with the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ as God. Behold, Jesus Christ, the King, is God. This is the topic for the closing service. Christ the King is God. Hallelujah. We have a declaration to make on this day. Before presenting the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus Christ as God, please permit me to make a declaration that the Most High God has asked me to make at this closing service of the four-day festival of testimonies. And here we are. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the Apostle Peter to make a declaration, saying, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. The testimony of the Holy Spirit that came upon Peter on the day of Pentecost was that the whole speech was a testimony about Jesus Christ. The Lord has told the church that it must wait until the Holy Spirit did come. And when he did come, he will be a comforter who will testify to them about Jesus Christ, who teach them things about Jesus Christ and the Holy One, and who also will glorify Jesus Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit mission in the church to assist the church to witness and testify and glorify Jesus Christ. Today, let it be known to the church and the whole wide world that this Jesus Christ, who is King and Lord, but was crucified, rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and was crowned both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, that on the day of Pentecost was introduced as both Lord and Christ, is now the reigning and ruling King of the universe. Behold, King Jesus Christ is the reigning and ruling King of the universe. The Lord asked me to make this definite declaration today, that Jesus Christ, whom you know as Peter, the apostle, declared on the day of Pentecost, though he was God, he humbled himself and he got himself to be crucified and he rose again. And so the world, although the Lord, the world still crucifies Jesus Christ. Just 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago, or 2 Fridays or something ago, the Lord was saying that Christ has been crucified afresh in our nation. And he was very sad that the church was involved in crucifying him in this country. Yesterday, we had the privilege to hear the Lord who asked us to pray for the healing of the church and the healing of our nation, Ghana. And so we are telling the church and the nation, Ghana, that this Jesus who was crucified, who has been being crucified in this nation this last few weeks, is not only both Lord and God and Christ, but he is King and God. And he is reigning and ruling the whole universe now, even in Ghana also. Amen. Today, let it be known to the church and the whole world that this Jesus Christ, who is King and Lord, was crucified, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and was crowned both Lord and Christ. He is now become the reigning and ruling King of the universe. Behold the King and God of the universe. Let us come to the testimony proper of a day, namely, behold Jesus Christ, God. Beloved, Jesus Christ, the Word, which we have learned here, the Savior and the Healer, is God. I don't know how often and how Jesus Christ, whom we have learned from here, the Spirit have testified of him as the Word of God, as the Savior, and as the Healer. The Holy Spirit is letting us to declare today to the world that Jesus Christ is not only both Lord and Christ, but he is God and what? King. And he is the ruler of the universe. It pleased the Father, beloved, and the Holy Spirit to transfer all authority and power over the universe to Jesus Christ from now till the end of time. From now till the end of time. Our testimony on Jesus Christ as God is based on Scripture, as well as the declaration that the Lord has caused to be made at this festival, concerning who Jesus is, King and God, a reigning and ruling monarch over the entire universe. He's King, or God and King, the reigning and ruling monarch over the universe. The Festival of Testimonies was opened with the scripture in Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16, saying, and I quote, "And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew about but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Unquote. Beloved, Jesus Christ, who is called Faithful and True, who we have also learned here, he is the Word of God, has a special name that nobody knows but him. But on his royal robe as king, it was written on his thigh, both the robe and the thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, during the course of the festival, he has been introduced to us. Indeed, each one of us had had an encounter with him as the Word of God, as the Savior, and as the healer. Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is assuredly the Word of God. And we can testify today that he's indeed Word of God, Savior, and healer. We want to remember this, and from now onwards, we need to tell people everywhere. We need to declare and inform people everywhere. Whenever there's debate about divinity or monarchy or theocracy or anything, let us declare that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is a Savior, is a healer, but above all, he's God and King, and he rules and reigns the world. Beloved, each of us got our taste and experience of his position and role as Word of God. Similarly, we tasted his goodness as Savior and healer. He was the triune God at the beginning of creation. But now he has taken a position as God and King of the world. They created the world together, the three of them. And he was the Word by which the creation was established. But the three of them have agreed that from now on, he should be the God and King of the universe. Let's clap for him. I want you to clap for him and stand. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world, is now enthroned by God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit to be the God and King of the universe. Today we are coming to discuss the special position and role of Jesus Christ as God from the beginning. He was God with the Father and the Holy Spirit at the beginning. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We started the festival of testimony with the Holy Spirit declaration that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, with reference particularly John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and Genesis 1 and 1. In John 1, 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word is God." And as God engaged in the creation process, at the beginning, when heaven and earth were first created, Jesus Christ played a specific role, a special role, as a spirit power and core spirit nature in and of man. We learn that he is the spirit of life and light. That is the core being, the core system in the human being. If there's any proof that we are human beings and we have been created in the image of God, that proof of our being of the image of God was conferred on us by Jesus Christ, who breathed his spirit of life and light into us. Of course, we learned that we fell, and we know why he has to come and redeem us and restore us to our original positions, if not higher. We learned during the course of the festival that the fact that our core being, our core nature, as human beings, makes him our brother, that he is not ashamed, therefore, to call us what? Brethren. It is not difficult for us, therefore, to share or to consider him share his divine spirit nature. Since, as we learned, he is our brother, because it is his spirit and nature that he breathed, that was breathed to make man a living soul. And so he considers man as his personal brother, albeit of a lower level than him. Thus, it was not difficult for him, and still for him, to share his divine spirit nature, his graces and glory, his power and authority, and the inheritance of the fullness of divine nature and glory with us. Romans 8, 14 and 17 declare us as the children of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. But that scripture tells us that because we are of him, and he has accepted us back into himself and the Father and the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have agreed to extend to us the divine inheritance, heavenly inheritance, which is available in Jesus Christ. So the scripture, we have become joint heirs with him. It is not that he is sharing his spirit nature and all, but his inheritance, his heritage as a child of God or the Son of Man, as a creator. He shared with man, the redeemed. All that will believe his story and come with him, they become joint heirs with him. And so when he was considering him as a savior, you see the sacrifice of his blood and life. It was based on his love and identification with us. We are part of him and he's part of us. And when we have fallen, he didn't feel happy. He was sorrowful over the issue. Until the Father and him and the elders in heaven decided that somebody must come. And the Bible tells the Lamb of God, which is Jesus, the Lion of Job, if it's also Jesus, agreed to come and break the seal and cause the redemption and restoration of man. If you read John 17 from verse 18 to 24, You see the neighbor a love that Jesus had for us. He had love, pain, and concern for fallen man, created originally in the image of God, through him to offer himself as living sacrifice for blood atonement and remission of sins, for reconciliation with God, so there be peace between man and God, for salvation from the tragedy of sin, and granted us for the redemption of our soul, spirit, and man, and also put forward his spirit, graces, name, and authority, power, and glory for our restoration and promotion to the state of being his brethren. He shared all with us. According to Romans 8, we have begun joint heirs with him. In John 17, he told the Father that the Father should allow that he and us be one, and one with him, Jesus, and the Father. And he said, because of this, he has shared his glory with us, that we can truly become fully like him. That is the burdened heart for humanity. And that is the extent to which Jesus went and is still going to make human beings come out of darkness and death, to make human beings be redeemed after the fallen nature, and to make human beings overcome sin, Satan, and death, and to make man take on a position of divine nature and the fullness of the inheritance in God. In like way, Jesus Christ was prepared to offer his all, blood, spirit, authority, and power, for the salvation, healing, and deliverance of man. So we enter into rest in him and enjoy abundant life, security, joy, and eternal life in and through him. He gave his all to us. He said, I'm come that one have life and have it more abundantly. I've come to overthrow the thief, the robbers, and all, that man shall be set free and have abundant life, have the security of life, and have assurance of joy and eternal life. Beloved, we learned yesterday also that Christ's redemption, salvation, healing, and deliverance, and the restoration of glory mission was undertaken side by side with the preaching and establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. He founded and established the church on two premises: for the salvation and restoration of man, and the building of the church. That's the one aspect of his mission. The second aspect is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom and the ordering and establishment of heavenly government and kingdom order on earth. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, Matthew 4, 23, we learn that he went about preaching and healing. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 16, 16 to 19, when he asked, what do men say that I am? He not only extended this grace of being part of him as the living God, Son of the living God, but he also gave us key to the kingdom of heaven. And he opened the door for man to enter the kingdom of heaven and to partake of the blessings of the kingdom. The salvation, redemption, and restoration of the brethren mission was a finished task on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. The first part of salvation was finished on the cross and from the resurrection from the dead. On the other hand, the kingdom of God on earth mission and the establishment and building of that mission on earth assume a place of significance with his ascension and elevation to the position of the right hand of the throne of God with the Father, receiving all and full authority and power as God, King, and Lord. He was then has taken a position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven as well as on earth. From the two propositions, namely the salvation mission, second, the kingdom mission. From these two propositions in Christ's mission, the Father has made the redeemed joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Christ has gotten the redeemed. He gives him place for his brethren, that's you and I, on earth, to serve as kings and priests to the Father and his kingdom order on earth, as well as in heaven with him. In Revelation 1 and 6, we are told that he has made us what? Kings and priests. You know, we were born again, we were delivered, born again, delivered, and filled with the Holy Ghost. The salvation aspect, bottom line, it makes us new people. New people. But from the perspective of the kingdom, he has made a priest and kings. We are his brethren in the first arrangement. But in the second arrangement, in kingdom affairs, we are priests and kings with him. Let's turn back to John 1 and 1. The declaration in the beginning to the effect was to the effect that the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. Before it became what? Flesh. The witness and testimony of the Holy Spirit today is that the Word that was at the beginning and became flesh, the Word that was God and became flesh, and giving the name Jesus and Christ to signify both his divine origin and standing as the anointed one, and at the same time as a human being, is the secret behind who he is. He was God, but he was the Word of God. And through the Word of God, he poured out himself, his spirit, himself for our salvation and for our becoming his brethren in spirit and what? In truth, in practical terms. And he opened the door for the anointing that came upon him when he was on earth. He opened the door that the redeemed also shall receive that same anointing, because they are rising to become children of God. Therefore, they must have all, it must be heirs of all the promises and all the things that God has ordained for him, Jesus Christ. He wants to share his glory with all of us. And so, having made us brethren, he's now made us also what? Priests and kings in the kingdom. The heavenly anointed one, even Jesus the Christ, was in reality God at the beginning. He allowed himself to become flesh. And this, that he became flesh, does not and could not In any way, change his original divine nature and position us with the Father and the Holy Spirit at the beginning of creation. We are saying that, brethren, if you are in Ghana or anywhere and you have heard of interfaith movement, if you have heard of our fathers saying that before the European came, we knew God, and that we are also following God. If you come to understand who really Jesus is, to yourself and me, and to creation, you cannot allow yourself to worship another God. But it's like lowering yourself. He has opened the door of divine nature to us. Then he also prayed that the Holy Spirit should come, that we should put on the fullness of power, that we can become the very true image, not image now, but what? True children of God. Though we became adopted, nevertheless, we take on the full dimensions of his nature as children of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3 to 10, we are told that Jesus Christ, the Word, who is also God, became flesh with the express purpose of redemption of man, as well as the gathering of all creation. Otherwise, broken loose from the divine triune God creator. Due to the influence of Satan's rebellion and human disobedience, Christ has come back not to stop that position of man and the world, the disconnection between man, creation, and the creator. He has come to dislodge and overturn that disconnection. And he has come to redeem us back and gather us back, all creation back, through his word, by whom he created all things and set them up in the first place. We are saying that, having seen his mission of salvation and having seen the proclamation of the kingdom, and considering the fact that he's made us his brothers and he's also made us priests and kings of his kingdom, we should not only understand that the nature of that mercy, but we must know for sure who he is to be able to confer all these things upon us. He must be a higher power. If he is the Savior, he's a healer, and we preach him and people are saved. In his name, people are healed. The anointing flows. And we too can take position as people who preach the gospel of salvation, who preach the kingdom of God, and who overcome powers of darkness and can cast them out. Not only has the kingdom come, but it is a special privilege that God Christ has made us enter. We have entered into a certain position as divine people. We are brothers to him, as brothers and sisters to him. He has made us priests and kings in the Father's kingdom. And as he's gathering all creation back to the Father, we included, he has made us to be priests and kings in the process. If the kingdom has come, if the kingdom is coming, and if the kingdom is here, and Christ is now the court reigning and ruling, we are priests and kings in that system. He made a priest to teach about the kingdom, to minister to the people. And he has made it kings, because he's a king and he's reigning and ruling. And so he has given us opportunity also to reign and rule the world with him. We know, we'll find out later, that he reigns and rules the world by the word of his mouth, but the rod of his hand, of his word. And he has brought us this opportunity. So we can declare and decree. We can put stop to the works of darkness, because he came to destroy the works of whom? The devil. And so he's placing a position as not just as prince, but like kings, princes for, in the kingdom of God. The whole universe under him. Now we are part with him in his reign and rule. Let's clap for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have been restored through the ministry of Jesus Christ, God, to our original connection with the full God and our glory as children of God and priests. Having fulfilled his mission, the God-man, that is Jesus Christ, the anointed one, Son of the living God, on ascension to heaven, has now reverted to his original nature, position, and stature, and glory as God. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Now he's finished his work. Now he has made us fully his brethren and joined to us. Now he has called us on a priest and kings in the kingdom of God. And the Father has exalted him above all and give him a name above all. Let us hear what the Apostle Paul, Apostle John's witness about this Jesus in the Bible. Revelation 1 from 10 to 18. John the Apostle said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write on the book and send it to the seven churches which are in heaven, which are in Asia, to the Ephesians, to Smyrna, to Pergamia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. He has gone back to heaven. He's elevated, sitting on the right hand side. Then Jesus gave John, his brother, his beloved brother, opportunity to see him in that elevated position. He was clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He has his right hand full of what? Seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And then I saw him. I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of what? Hades and of death. That's Jesus in his glory. I'm the first and the last. I have power over the universe. I have taken key from heaven, Hades, the death world, and hell. They are in my hands. have destroyed Satan and whom? The grave, the power of the dead, and of death. For this reason, though he became flesh, he still bore in his body the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 1, 16 to 20. I'm saying that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was God. He took on the nature of man, but he did not completely hand over or completely set apart his divinity, his divine nature. He was a human being, yet he was full what? God. He suffered the things he suffered in the flesh, but it was to make it possible for him as God to walk in our positions and on earth, to see and experience that which we have experienced, the sin factor, the death factor, the satanic oppression and molestation, and all the wild darts of both men and spirits that come upon earth. He went through them all, and he overcame them all. He took power from them, and he has become the head of the church. Let's come for Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, the Word of God, the Savior and the Healer, is now by the throne of God in heaven as God, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is God, you know, he's God. If in the beginning he was God, and when he was in the flesh, he still had the fullness, he said, in him dwelleth what? The fullness of the Godhead, what? Bodily. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in him. He is of that unique power force of God. He was still there. He was operating as a human being, but his original position as God was not left aside. It was in that power and position he can take all the actions to arrest creation, to stop disobedience, to cast out the rebellion, to cast out demons, and to be Lord of lords. But having finished the mission and he gone, he reverts to his original position as God. When God said, let us create man in our image, Jesus has gone back to that original position as among the people that said, let us make what? Man in our image. He's gone back to his position. The demons testify he's the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit said, he's joint heir with us because of his mercy towards us. Behold, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is now God, has taken on the position. As God, the creator that became flesh, as God, the Word that gave spirit power and form to all creation, having finished his position, his mission, fully and creditably, he's seated on glory in, and given all authority and power by agreement of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be the reigning King and ruling God, or the ruling King and reigning God of the universe. He's gathering all things back unto the kingdom of God, both things in heaven and things on earth, seen and unseen. He stands far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things in himself. Ephesians 1, 21 to 23. We are saying that, having finished his work and taken his position, And he has become the head of the church. He has come with all his authority and power. The original authority and power that he had. And now he has been made the God and King of the universe. And he is the head of the church. That's why we are not the priests and kings with him. But the reigning and ruling of the world, the universe, we are part of it. He has made the priests and kings. And we are part. We have given opportunity as joint heir with him. And the anointing that was with him, with which he did great things, as we learned yesterday, that anointing also has come upon us. And he's working to rule and reign the world with us. So the church must know her position. The Bible says his region, he has preeminence. And the Father and the Holy Spirit have agreed to give him all authority. He's far above every spirit and power, every principality and power. He's far above all of them put together, not only in this world, but also what? In the world to come. His power of powers in the heavenlies. His power of powers on earth. His power of powers in the coming age and coming world. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. He has a name above all the gods, spirits and men, principality and power that have taken temporary charge of the universe. At the mention of his name, the Bible says, all powers will do all bow. They must and they will bow, submitting to him as God, Lord and King, proclaiming his kingdom. It is true in this regard to agree and proclaim him as King and God of the universe, and hence God, King, and Lord of what? Ghana. This evening, we are jumping one further, having seen that Jesus is God, and having seen the position he placed us, has joined us, and as priests and kings, in his reign and rule of the earth. He has been given a position above all prosperity and power. He has been given what? As what? As God. The Father has, he has not ceased to be God, but he has given all opportunity to Jesus Christ alone to be what? To be God and King of the universe. He and the Holy Spirit are there watching him. If he calls them, they will come. But right now, especially after his ascension and elevation, he is reigning over the whole universe. This is the position he has brought us. And this is a unique, wonderful, and blessed position of Jesus Christ, who is God and King. In the beginning, God, the Word, became flesh to reconcile the world, to save and heal and restore glory to man and gather all things back to God. He has power and authority to establish heavenly ordered government and kingdom on earth. And therefore, even including what? Ghana. People of Ghana, at this festival of testimonies, we have not only witnessed the Holy Spirit testimony about who Jesus is, and that Jesus is King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Word of God, Savior and Healer, but also as God. We too now, assembled, must acknowledge him finally as God, the God of the universe, and God, King and Lord of our country. If Jesus Christ is God, then he is God, King and Lord of our country, Ghana. Ghana is part of the universe, and Jesus reigns and rules in all the universe. All principalities and powers are below him. All gods and goddesses, all deities and all spirits are below him. All human beings except elevated to his position as brother, they are far, 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 far below him. Jesus Christ is Lord, King, and God of the universe.
He shall reign over his people, and he'll be their God. He shall reign over his people.